Genesis chapter 8. Let's begin reading here in verse 1. And God remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the cattle that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. They subsided. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. You and I studied there in the 6th chapter and the 7th chapter of the flood that had come upon this earth. And we're told there that the great fountains of the deep were broken up. Great fountains that's underneath the surface of this earth, the deep fountains, begin to break up and the waters rushed to the surface of this earth. And all the moisture that was in the atmosphere was gathered together and poured out of the sky like great gates or windows opened in heaven. And the black clouds had came over the sky and the rain began to gush from them. And we saw there in the 7th chapter that the highest hills under all the heaven was covered. The great Rockies, the Alps, Mount Moriah, Mount Nebo, all the mountains of this earth were covered. And all that could be seen was this solitary ark riding upon the face of these waters, upon this boundless ocean. But it was a boundless ocean of death. Beneath that ark was nothing but destruction and death. How solemn must have been the thoughts of these 8 people as they sat there in this ark. Though they couldn't see what was going on outside, by faith they had to perceive it. Death and destruction had come. And all that remained alive in all of this world was these 8 people and the animals in that ark. What a time this was. And what was Noah? And I've often wondered, as he sat there in this narrow prison, if he did not sometime think within himself, "Who am I that I should be spared? Why should I be saved when all else is lost? Who am I and my family that we should be secured when all else has been destroyed?" Well, here's the reason why, brothers and sisters. Mercy will have its vessels, as well as wrath will have his. Justice will have its vengeance, but grace must have. Grace shall have its delivered captives. I imagine as Noah sits here in this narrow ark, unable to do anything but trust and hope and wait, he thought to himself, "Why me? Why me?" You ever think that? "Why me, Lord?" And the answer always come back the same. "Even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight." Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah believed God. And Noah built an ark. And he entered that ark and God shut him in. And he became heir of that righteousness which is by faith. God revealed to him what was coming. He believed God. He moved with fear. He entered this ark and God sealed him in. But the same God who sealed him in never forgot about him. The Lord remembered Noah. When this wrath had fallen upon the earth, the windows of heaven had poured out all its rage, and the great fountain of the deep rushed to the surface, and all was destroyed, and God's wrath had come. Yet, in all of this destruction, God remembered Noah. O Lord, Habakkuk said, I have heard thy speech, and I was afraid. Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. Make your work known in times of wrath. Remember mercy. Remember mercy. God never put Noah in this ark just so he could exist in misery, but he put him there to save him. He put him there to keep him alive while his wrath was poured out. He put him there to bring him to a new world that had been cleansed by judgment. And brothers and sisters, God don't put a man in Christ and forget about him. God don't put a man in Christ just to put him on probation to see if he can make it to heaven. God puts a man in Christ to preserve him. God puts a man in Christ to hide him. God puts a man in Christ to keep him safe and secure him when God comes to take vengeance upon the inhabitants of this world. And when everything is said and done, God will remember that man that's in Christ and bring him out to a world, a new world, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And God remembered Noah. Look over here with me, if you will, in Job's Gospel. Job chapter 14. Job spake about this, the Lord remembering, God remembered Noah. Look in Job chapter 14. And look here in beginning in verse 7. Job chapter 14 and verse 7. God remembered Noah. There is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branches thereof will not cease. Through the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud again, and bring forth bogs like a plant. But man dieth, and he wasteth away. Yea, he gives up the ghost, and where is it? As the waters fail from the sea, and the floods decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and raiseth not, until the heavens be no more. They shall not wake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me, Job said. Hide my soul in Christ, and hide my body in the grave, and that thou wouldest keep me in secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. Remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? Oh yes. Oh yes. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And Job said, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come, and you'll remember me, for thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou shalt have a desire to the work of thy hand. God don't put a man in Christ and forget about him. He just don't do it. He will remember him. God remembered Noah. Let me give you four things. And I think you can relate to this. I say this for myself. This is four things I want the Lord to remember. And I imagine you have the same desire as I do. First of all, I want the Lord to remember me. God remembers men and women. God remembers people. God remembered Noah. When it's said that He remembers people, sometimes He remembers them for good, to have mercy upon them. Sometimes He remembers them for evil, to bring judgment. God remember Amalek. I want Him to remember me in mercy, just like He did Noah. The thief said, Lord, when You come into Your kingdom, remember me. According to Your mercies, remember me, O Lord, for Thy name's sake, David said. Remember me. Keep me in Your thoughts. Keep me in Your heart. Keep me in Your affections. Lord, don't forget me. When the storms of life are raging, don't forget me. When I'm tried and tested, Lord, don't forget me. When my strength fails me, and I am so useless and helpless, and old age has took its toll, Lord, remember me. When death's cold dew lies upon my brow, oh God, remember me. And when I stand before You in the judgment, and when all men have been assigned to their eternal home, oh, Lord, remember me. Look Thou upon me and be merciful unto me and do unto me as You used to do to them that loved Your name. I love the Lord, don't you? And I want Him to remember me like He remembered Noah. Lord, remember me. And secondly, I want the Lord to remember what I am. I want Him to remember I am utterly helpless in myself. I am weakness itself. I am useless. I am nothing. I know nothing. I can do nothing. Is that scriptural? Should we think this way about ourselves? I've had people to tell me, Bruce, you shouldn't be so down on yourself. You know, we've got living in this age of self-esteem. Self-esteem is run amok in our day, teaching people to think highly of themselves. Well, here's what I want the Lord to remember about me. I'm nothing. I know nothing. I can do nothing. You and I used to live to try to impress God. Oh, we could impress God. Wait till God finds out how much I know. Wait till God finds out how much I can learn and what all I can do. But then God breaks in upon us and He teaches us that we're nothing and less than nothing. That we're altogether vanity. If a man thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. And God has so thoroughly taught us this, now things have altogether changed. Used to be we were afraid when we thought God knew us. But now we're afraid He's going to forget what we really are. So what will we do? Oh, we beg Him, Lord, remember what I am. I'm weakness itself. As far as the east is from the west, He says, so far have I removed Your iniquities from You. Like as a father pitieth his children, the Lord pity them that fear Him. The Lord knoweth our frame. And He remembers that we're just dust. Ain't that comforting to you? You never want Him to forget that, do you? You never want to think that He puts any confidence in you. And here was poor Noah, shut up in this narrow prison. And all he could do was hope and trust. And wait. And he couldn't do that without the grace of God. And if God hadn't given him grace to do that, he would despair. He was weakness itself, helpless and could do nothing. But we're told here God remembered him. God remembered me. I'm nothing. I am nothing. And thirdly, and I imagine this was Noah's request when he was here in this ark, it had to be this: Lord, remember the covenant. This is something I've often asked the Lord in myself. Lord, remember the covenant. You say, Bruce, what are you talking about? You remember, you that's been going through this book, you remembered we studied on this covenant, didn't you? Remember that? The Lord came to Noah and he said, I'm going to destroy all flesh, but with you will I establish my covenant. You're going to come into the ark, and your family's coming into the ark, and all the animals are coming into the ark, and I'm going to keep all of you alive. He said, that's the covenant that I'm going to make with you. I promise you. What do you think it was like in that ark? What do you think the conditions were like in there? I think sometimes we imagine that they just sat in the ark and they had a good time, that it was a smooth ride, and they petted the animals and laughed and told stories. I don't think it was like that at all. I think as those water spouts on high began to pour upon that ark, and the fountains of the deep was broken up and gushing up, and the winds whipping and the thunders were vibrating that ark, I tell you, it was a dangerous place to be, seemingly at times. The ark standing on its nose, standing on its tail, feeling like it was ready to roll over. Them hanging on for life, afraid they were going to be broken up inside the ark. Oh no, brothers and sisters. That ark went through the storm. That ark felt the rage of those waters. And they were there for a year or more inside that ark. I wonder how it smelled. Can you imagine that? You think they didn't get somewhat impatient? I tell you, in that narrow, dark prison, hadn't seen the daylight for over a year. Don't you think sometime Noah, out of frustration, or Noah out of doubt, Noah out of fear, sometimes said, Lord, remember the covenant. Are we going to make it through this storm? Is this ark going to be broken to pieces? Where did he get his confidence that he was going to make it through this awful, awful storm? He remembered the covenant. Oh, God, remember your covenant. You said you'd establish your covenant with me, and you brought me into the ark to keep us alive. Remember the covenant. Some people have this idea in our day that Christianity is just a life of fun and happiness. Being carefree. Have you found that to be the case? Have you found being a Christian to be fun? We have our joys. We have our times of rejoicing. We have peace in our conscience, our heart. But I tell you, the children of God knows what sorrow is too. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. Did you ever be going along and your heart was so burdened, and you'd been so tested and tempted, you said in yourself, what is happening to me? I've never been in such a condition before. It's strange. That's one of the things that makes up our Christian life. It's not always fun, is it? In this world you shall have tribulation. The Lord was speaking to the church of Smyrna, and it said, fear none of those things which you shall suffer. The devil is going to cast you into prison, and you're going to have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that's higher than I. And boy, what do we do when we're in a situation like this? We flee to the Word, don't we? Lord, remember the Word unto Thy servant, upon which You've caused me to hope. Remember the covenant. We don't hear much about the covenant today, do we? Brother Glenn talked about it there a minute ago in his Sunday school lesson. You may not have noticed it, but that's what it is, the covenant. Turn over here with me. Let me read you just a little bit about it. In Psalms. Look in Psalms. Brother Glenn read to us over in John 6 about the covenant. It didn't say covenant, but that's what it is. Sometimes covenant goes under the name of God's will. It goes under the name of promise, what God has promised, or an oath. You often hear the old prophets pray this way. Remember the oath. Remember your covenant. They prayed that way. And here is the covenant that God made with His Son. The Lord Jesus said, "This is the will of Him that sent me, all which He hath given me." Now what is that? The Father has given the Son something, ain't He? He's given Him a great host of people out of humanity. That's the Father's part in the covenant. He said, "My Son, I'm going to give you these people." And here's the Son's part in it. "All the Father giveth me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day." That's the covenant. That's the covenant. And it has all these gifts that God gave to the Son and all the responsibility laid upon the Son. And the Scripture says in Hebrews 13:20, "The God of peace that brought again from the dead, the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." If you find out what that covenant is, you'll find out what the gospel is. That's where you find out what the gospel is. But let me read you something. Look here in Psalms 89. Psalms 89. Look here in verse 1. Begin in verse 1. "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall Thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant," to Christ. That's who he's talking about. Look over in verse 20. "I have found David, my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall stand, shall be established, mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I'll beat down his foe before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn." We know who that is, don't we? "Higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him." His seed, his people, his chosen ones, his sheep, "also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law, if they walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then I will visit their transgressions with a rod and their iniquities with stripes." I mean, God's going to chasten his children. You say, "I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that." Yeah, and you may get a rod across your back too. And you think it hit hurt when your father down here whipped you. He knows how to make it hurt. And if you're his and you can live and do according to this flesh and walk contrary to His will, and you never have His whip on your back. You know what that means, don't you? You know what that means. But look here what He said in verse 33. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will not I not utterly take from Him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the things that go out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. There's the covenant. There's the covenant. And Christ sealed His part of that covenant with His own blood. Lord, remember the covenant. And He does. He does. He does. In Psalms 89:47, let me quote this one too. Here's the fourth thing I want the Lord to remember for me. I want Him to remember me. I want Him to remember my weakness, my utter helplessness. I want Him to remember the covenant. Think upon your Son. Look upon your Son. Remember what you've assured Him that you'll give Him. Don't forget your covenant. He remembered for them His covenant and repented according to the multitude of His tender mercy. And I want this also. David said in Psalms 89:47, Lord, remember how short my time is. Remember how short my time is. I was over last week, most of you know. I went over to Martha Richardson's funeral, Brother Scott's wife. Brother Scott pastored the church there, Katy Baptist Church, for well over 50 years. A faithful, faithful pastor. And I had an opportunity to sit and talk some with him, told him how much I appreciate him, and how that he had preached the gospel to me, and God had taken it home to my heart so many times. And all the people that he had helped across this country. Been a faithful, faithful pastor. And you know what he told me? He said, I appreciate that. But he said, it's over with now. I have finished my course. That's what he said. When he gets in the pulpit, he has to hold on to the sides just to stand. He's so weak. That's it for me, he said. It's done. Whatever I've done is in the past. I ain't going to do nothing else. I'm just waiting now. That's all I can do is sit and wait now. What am I saying? Brothers and sisters, if you and I are going to do anything, if we're going to do anything for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, we better do it now. If you're going to teach a Sunday school class, then you better do it now. If you're going to witness to anybody, if you're going to hand out any tracts, if you're going to give out any messages on CDs, you better do it now. You better do it now. I once was young, and now I'm old. And now that I'm old, I cannot go and do what I used to do when I was young. Joe and I, this last week, we had a company to come in and put an internet in for us. We finally got on internet. And we got cable TV with a recorder. You can just record anything you want to record. And as I sat down and started trying to work some of that stuff, and I thought, what a mess I've got into. To get what I wanted to see and what I felt like I needed to hear, I had to get through all this mess and scribble and scrabble. There's a lot of things, brothers and sisters, in this world, there's nothing wrong with it. You and I have a liberty to do a lot of things in this world. But do we have the time? Do we have the time? Knowing the time, Paul said, it's high time to awake out of sleep. Our salvation is nearer than it was when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. The time is short, brethren. It's short, ain't it? David said, Lord, remember how short my time is. Give me energy to go and to do now. Give me a mind to work and to labor and to will and to do. Because it ain't going to be very long. I ain't going to have the energy and I ain't going to have the opportunity. See what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? You think Noah wanted out of this ark? You better bet he wanted out of this ark. All he could do in the earth was wait and trust and sit. But we do that too, don't we? But Lord, don't let me just sit and wait and hope and trust. Oh, let me be doing and going for Your glory. Give me a heart to do it. Open doors for me. Give me understanding to go out and to come in. Let me witness to my neighbors. Let me witness to my family. But I'm going to soon be old, and I ain't going to do any of that. You better teach kids now. Pretty soon you'll be sitting there saying, my course is finished. And it won't be long. It won't be long. Lord, remember how short my time is. God remembered Noah. May God remember you. And may God remember me. That was my first point. The second one, and I won't keep you too much longer. Was there any means by which Noah... Now listen to this. Was there any means by which Noah could perceive that God had indeed remembered him? Was there any way that he could be for sure that God had remembered him? I don't mean, well, yeah, when he looked out and saw the dry ground. Then he could say, praise God, he remembered me. No, I'm talking about while he was in the ark, while the flood was still on the earth. Was there any way that Noah could know then God's not forgotten me? Well, the first way was, I told you just a minute ago, His covenant, His promise. God done made a covenant with him. Said, I'll remember you. I ain't going to forget you. I'm going to keep you alive. That's the first way. But secondly is this. Noah had only to perceive the ark had endured the storm. If he could have perceived that the ark had endured the storm, that the violent noise that he had heard for 40 days and 40 nights, the churning of all of these waters, the gates that had opened in the sky and letting the water floods pour down upon the ark, and the thunderclaps that had rattled this ark, all of this had suddenly come to a calm. Suddenly there was a calm. 40 days, and it quit lightning. And the thunderclaps didn't vibrate their chest anymore. The ark ceased to roll and rumble and groan under the weight of that violent storm. It settled down. It became a calm. You think they didn't perceive that? No more reeling to and fro, groaning and popping under the pressure of these awful waters. And if Noah perceived that this ark had finally come to rest, there's the way he could have known that God had remembered him. The ark had endured the storm. What did that mean? You say, Bruce, how could he have perceived that God had remembered him? Well, where was he? He was in the ark. And as it went with the ark, so it went with him. For he was in the ark. If the ark had endured the storm, then so had they. Because they were in the ark. If the ark had come to rest, then so could they. Because they were in the ark. If it was well with the ark, then it had to be well with them. Because they were in the ark. See what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? How could Noah perceive that God had remembered him and his family and those cattle? Well, he's perceived this ark has gone through the storm. and it's now riding smooth. God remembered the ark. If God has remembered the ark, then God has remembered us. God had remembered the ark to uphold it and bring it through this storm and brought it to rest upon this high and strong mountain. Then Noah could believe and perceive that God had remembered him, for he was in the ark. Who was it exposed to the danger? It wasn't Noah. It was the ark. God wasn't dealing with Noah and his family. God was dealing with the ark. The waves never beat upon them. It beat upon the ark. Well, Noah said, if the ark has endured the storm, and it's still intact, and God has remembered it, if the intentions of the Holy Spirit by the ark here, I say if the intentions of the Holy Spirit was to represent to us Jesus Christ and salvation by Him, then you and I who are in Jesus Christ this morning by faith, I mean God has called us to Christ and we're in the Lord Jesus by living faith, can you and I not have the same assurance that Noah did? We have only to believe that Jesus Christ, the dear and blessed Son of God, in our humanity, has indeed endured the storm of God's judgment. Has He done that? Has Jesus Christ not endured the storm and the wrath of God upon our sin? In our place, in our stead, in our room, has He not done that? And let me ask you this question, brothers and sisters. How is it with Jesus this morning? How is it with Him? Is it well with Him? He said, I'm He that liveth. I was dead. I suffered for sins. I died for sins. But now I'm alive forevermore. Is it not well with Him? Then it must be well with you who are in Him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus began to understand that the flood waters had broken loose underneath Him and rushed into the surface. He could almost feel those gates in heaven ready to open up against Him, the flood of God's awful wrath. And there upon the cross of Calvary, there upon that awful cross, He groaned, He cried, and He strained under the weight of those awful waters. And He said, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts, and all thy waves and thy billows have gone over me. Thou hast cast me into the deep, and the floods compass me about, even to my soul, He said. Is it nothing to you that pass by? There He hangs upon the cross of Calvary. And He says, is it nothing to you who pass by? Behold and see if there's any sorrow lacking to my sorrow, wherewith God hath afflicted me in the day of His fierce anger. The waves wasn't against us, brothers and sisters. The wrath was not against us. It was against Him for our sakes. God put Noah in that ark with his family. And those waves were against the ark. The same waves that destroyed everybody else beat against the ark. And the same wrath that fell upon the old world and destroyed it is the same wrath Jesus Christ endured in His own body and in His soul. That wrath that would have crushed you and me down to hell, He endured that wrath in His body upon that tree. And He cried out, it's finished. Why did He say that? There was no more wrath left to bear. The fountains from beneath had dried up. The windows of heaven had emptied themselves of God's vengeance, and now the Lord Jesus said, "It's finished." And then what happened? There was a calm. There was a calm. He gave up the ghost. His groanings ceased. His tears ceased. His crying ceased. Never again would you hear, "My God, my God." It was over with. Wrath had been borne. The vengeance of God had been poured out. Justice and our sin had met together. Not in us, but in our substitute. And what happened? What happens when sin and God's justice meet together? That's wrath. And there's what He bore upon that tree. But He bore it all. He bore it all. And now where is He? Well, He's at rest. He's in Mount Heaven. He's at rest. And the Father says to Him, "My Son, sit upon My right hand until I make all thine enemies thy footstool." Sit and rest here. It's well with Him. And if it's well with Him, is it not well with you? Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, she may forget. But I'll never forget you. You know why? I've graven you upon the palms of my hand. That's where you're at. You want to see where you're at this morning? Look at those wounds in the hand of the Savior. Look at His side. That's where you're at. Where are you? You're in Him. You're in heaven. You're safe. You're secure. Oh, Jesus, blessed Jesus, endured one tremendous wave after another until He endured the rage of hell, the wrath of man, and the curse of justice. But how is it with Him now? Our Savior is at rest. He is peaceful. He is quiet. He is free. Can't you feel it in your soul? Don't you believe it that He is? He made peace through the blood of His cross. A peace that you and I can feel in a measure in our souls. Peace, peace. Wonderful peace. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Where did we get this peace? The Savior made it for us. And He gave it to us. And we have it because it's His. He's not being tossed to and fro today. He's not in turmoil today. He's at rest. He's peaceful. Nothing will ever trouble Him again. Can you not this morning, dear child of God, by faith enter into a measure of Christ's rest? If God is not angry with Jesus anymore, then He's not angry with you who are in Jesus. If Jesus Christ has suffered and atoned for our sins at a great cost to Himself, and yet now all is well with Him, can you and I not believe that all is well with us for Christ's sake? How is it with you, Noah? How goes it with you, Noah? Well, how goes it with the ark? How is it with the ark? Find out how it is with the ark, and you'll find out how it is with me. How is it with you this morning, dear soul? Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ by faith? You have union with Him? Then it's well with you. It's well with you. God bless His Word. Let's pray.